Please stay tuned for the Nimbus forecast.
Podcast by the Nimbus of the Holy Nimbus Gaming group. Working title of the podcast, the Nimbus Forecast. So
the four.
With a four, because there are four of us. So stay tuned for more.
More of the forecast.
With this will just sort of be a platform to like talk about just anything related to the gaming world that we feel like talking about. Today is going to be a little free form. We're going to sort of go over like gaming histories of the members and stuff. Then we want to get a little topical, talk about next-gen consoles and everything going on.
Some retro consoles.
We want to talk about some retro consoles and why we will be talking about a lot of retro games and playing a lot of retro games. And we're going to talk about our YouTube channel and the Let's Plays that we're going to do and projects we have in the works. So, Austin will kick it off with his name. His name's Austin.
Hey, my name's Austin. How's it going?
Okay.
That's solid. I'm Chris.
I'm Will.
And I'm Thomas. So, let's start things off by talking about our gaming experiences and games we're playing, games we're excited about, that sort of thing. So, go for it.
Okay, so I started gaming in 96 or 97 when I first got my PS1. Or actually before that. I had a NES. I had an NES, and that was where I started. I really got into gaming when I got my PS1, though. I got into Spyro.
That's a good game.
Spyro.
I hated Spyro.
I love Spyro, man.
He still has it.
I still have it.
I completed, like, everything. Like, Rescue All the Dragons?
Yeah.
I did, like, all that stuff. I love that game. I even love the ones on the PS2.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really got into games there. And games I'm playing through right now. I'm almost done with Tales of Graces F, which is a really good game. And I've put about 50 hours or 40 hours into it so far. I still haven't beat it.
Not bad.
But I'm about to. Sorry. And I'm about to start The Last of Us, which I've heard is amazing, which I'm looking forward to.
Yep.
And I'm really looking forward to Tales of Zillia in August, which is going to be coming out. I'm also looking forward to playing Bioshock Infinite whenever I get it, even though that's already been out. I'm just waiting for the Uber edition to go on sale. And Chris?
Cool.
I'm just gonna say something. We should go freeform, just like whenever someone feels like going, if like jump in and whatever, we can cut this part out, but just like jump in like we were doing before.
Nope. We're not getting that. That's staying in.
Alright, so we should go freeform, but I started gaming as well on the PlayStation 1, really. I just started getting into retro consoles. We'll talk more about those later. But pretty much just started gaming on the PS1. I played Spyro as well. Crash Bandicoot was like one of my favorite games of all time. Tekken was an awesome game. So this is just a little bit about that. Army Men, that was pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
Army one was good 2D, like, I don't know, good fun. So
I like the Toy Story game, actually.
Yeah, I've never played the Toy Story game.
That was really good.
The one with Buzz Lightyear?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
You can't have Toy Story without Buzz Lightyear.
Well, it was like, that was the person who played that.
Okay.
Because they have one on the Super NES. And you,
like,
the one with Woody?
The alternate Toy Story universe where, like, Buzz Lightyear dies. Like, in infancy.
The dark universe.
Yeah.
sad days. Can't have that happen.
Toy Story 3 was pretty sad.
Alright, William.
It was.
Alright, and Will, already said that. Gaming history. Probably started about 2 with Super Nintendo. Super Mario World, from what I know, was my first glimpse into the gaming world. And basically my first experience. I'm sure I beat that at such a young age. It just grabbed my attention. And even at a young age, I was already playing like Super Mario RPG. I was already getting a good feel for a lot of different genres. Mario, Mega Man, Donkey Kong, those are probably the ones that will be closest to me forever. Even though a lot of the newer ones, like as Austin said, Bioshock or Halo. I really like the Halo series. I'm rather happy with what 343 has done with it.
Gears.
I hope... Gears is also good. I mean, there's just a bunch of stuff. I could do that on my own time. I won't waste everyone else's time here. But beyond that, just a lot of retro stuff.
Yeah.
That's where we want to keep it. We'll eventually venture out a little bit, but we'll try and keep it as tight as possible to retro and classic gaming in general.
Cool. I also like retro. I'm scared of change and new things. So I never really got into the next-gen consoles. I did a 360 for a while. I played through Assassin's Creed and Red Dead and Grand Theft Auto and stuff. But I grew up with the NES and N64 and GameCube. So, like, Banjo-Kazooie, Super Smash Bros, Snap, Mario Kart, those were my favorites.
Mm.
And they always will be. And I will forever hate Call of Duty and Halo. And I'm going to say it now. So you guys know.
Everybody here knows. Everybody here knows.
I don't like him. I'm not receptive to him. Can't change my mind.
I enjoy them for what they are.
Yeah.
But
terrible things.
Timely.
I enjoy them for what 12-year-old kids say with their moms not around.
Yeah.
Thinking they're badasses because they have an internet.
Yeah.
I got the internet, mom. I can cuss all I want. Okay, so...
You guys want to go over, like, what we will, like, specify in the group? Like... Because we're each probably going to focus in different directions.
I don't know.
Is it your power?
Well,
what?
Like your power core.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
I guess I'll go. I'm like the RPG guy, I guess. I love JRPGs, especially. Anything with, like, you know, has an anime style to it. I'm really into that. I love hand-drawn stuff. Mm. Always... hours and hours and hours on RPGs, JRPGs, everything.
Waste?
Whoa.
Spend. Or enjoy.
I enjoy
hours.
Banked.
And yeah, that's pretty much what I'll cover. Probably mostly current gen stuff, but some stuff like on consoles that nobody really cares about, like the PSP.
No, PS Vita.
Or the Vita. No one cares about the Vita, but the PSP is...
Hey, I don't
have
even... some
longevity to
yeah.
it.
They're still releasing stuff for the PSP, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, mainly stuff like that. Some PS2 games. I recently almost beat Persona 4 on the PS2. And that game's like 5 years old. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing. So.
Very good.
Cool. I guess I don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing. I'm just going to be focusing mostly on the retro games. I was into the newer consoles, but just, I don't know, something about them just, they get kind of annoying after a while. So, just be focusing on the older stuff, and it's just like simple fun, but more about that stuff.
Cool. I'm all over the place. I'm everywhere. I'm everything.
You are the game star.
I am the game star, folks. Don't let anyone tell you different.
President of gaming history.
President of gaming history via Holy Nimbus Gaming.
Which is our blog. You should check that out. It's holynimbusgaming.wordpress.com.
Yep, that's actually where this will be posted on, so you'll already be on the site.
Congrats on finding it.
So, good job.
Congratulations, yes. Guys.
Now hit refresh and you'll find it again.
Yes.
Good job. And you can listen to it again. Very good.
Share it with your friends, Facebook, Twitter, yep. You know, all
hashtag
that good stuff.
Holy Nimbus.
Yes.
I guess one thing that separate me from everyone else, I am more in tune with the PC community, PC gaming in general. Steam sales going on right now. I'm trying my best to resist buying anything.
That's what most people are doing.
Because that'll drain your wallet really fast. But if they put, like, Infinite or something up on there, I'll probably have to snag it. Mm. Yep.
That's fair. Mm. I'm not very good at video games, but I really like them, so I'm just sort of a casual gamer, so that's sort of my approach. I'm the antithesis to everybody else who really likes next-gen consoles and new games and stuff.
Next-gen Retron.
I'll be the bad guy sometimes.
You'll just bring an outside perspective, yeah, and ask questions that people sometimes ignore.
Exactly.
Okay, so
that's what I think is cool about this group. Yeah. Because, like, everybody, like, is from different, like, backgrounds, I guess.
Except for what?
And they all enjoy the different
except
things.
Except for what?
We're all white.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Well, you're like Indians. So.
Yeah, sort of.
So we have a little diversity.
Okay, so we should talk about games that we're going to do on Let's Play. So... we're going to be doing a bunch of retro games and playing through them at least as far as we can.
Yes.
That sometimes isn't very far.
Emphasis on
as far as we can. Right. So don't get mad if we don't get past like the second level.
We got to the fourth level on TMNT, the arcade game, ported to the NES.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's one of them that you'll be seeing. That's going to be one of our first ones, actually.
Yeah.
So
That will be our first one.
Okay, so... Some games that we are planning on doing. We're planning on doing GoldenEye for the N64 and Mega Man 64. Those are the two N64 games. Probably maybe Smash Bros. Someone, if we can find it. Or rent it. Something.
I bet we can get
Donkey Kongs. We'll be playing through those. I mean, that's just like the that's probably one of the most classic ones. Maybe Mario. I don't know if everybody does Mario, but
we could do
Mega Man X.
I think it's important that we do the classics.
Mega Man X. That's a pretty good game. Killer Instinct, Guerrilla War for the NES. Just a random NES game, but it's pretty good and just random. But it's an arcade game that came out. So lots of NES and SNES games, so, I don't know. Oh, Speed Devils.
We got some Dreamcast games.
We got some Dreamcast going on
Dreamcast
there.
Games.
If anyone who knows what the Dreamcast is, congrats to you. If you know what Speed Devils is, double
congrats. Oh, man, you know what Speed Devils is, then,
comment on our blog and tell us.
Send
that.
Us your address, we will come to you and marry you.
And if you confuse the Dreamcast with the Genesis... It's even more points to you.
Yes, Austin does that. So we should talk about the next-gen consoles as well. So obviously the Xbox One had a major, I don't know if you want to call it brain fart or something. They just basically failed upon unveiling their console basically, they didn't talk about
any games.
They didn't talk about any games
about, like,
for how long? Like a half hour. Like they literally took
it was TV.
Yeah.
TV.
So obviously, if you're a gamer and you're on this, you already know this. But Xbox One majorly failed with that, and then they had their DRM, which the always online thing that was which they backed off of, but. So a question that I had that for this group would be, why would the Kinect, why would the Xbox want to ship with the Kinect? Is it because they're not selling enough Kinects or they just want to charge more? Cause obviously that's about the price difference between the two consoles is that PlayStation 3 is $399, right? Xbox is $499. The difference is about the price of a Kinect. Why would they ship Kinect with every Xbox? What ideas?
Because they want to emphasize the media center. They want to have the whole entertainment value.
But, But what does the Kinect bring to the entertainment side of it, like the TV part of it? Like, how does that?
Well, that's how the Xbox can recognize your voice and everything via Kinect.
Okay, right. That brings up the conspiracies and like the always listening NSA. Thing. It's not really conspiracy, yeah. But it's like it's a legit thing. The Kinect will always be listening for Xbox On, meaning that it will be listening for other words as well. Well, it can hear other words, but
I just want to add that. The PS4 was originally going to ship with the PlayStation Eye on it,
yep.
And they decided not to, but when they did their press conference or whatever, and that cut the price to $399, which I'm happy they did, because I wouldn't have ever used it in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was hoping that Microsoft was going to do the same thing, but I'm not going to buy it anyway.
Okay, so really so here's the thing. Three of us have Xbox 360s.
Well, it used to be four.
One of us has a PS4.
And one of us PS3. Has a PS3. Me. So, but I just wanted to say that. So, you know that our comments against Xbox are...
Legitimate,
because we love Xbox and we played it a lot. It's, but some of their recent ventures and ideas and the way that they're going...
We love Forza.
Some of their recent the ways they've been going have kind of pissed us off a little bit. So, let's see. So,
and the ball out.
After the press conference, it was they had the press conference and they got tons and tons of crap about all the restrictions they put on it, and gamers were just crying out, "This is stupid," which it is. It's completely stupid. And then for E3, I was like, "Oh, they're totally gonna come out and say, oh, you know, we're pulling all this. You know, it's gonna be a legit console. It's gonna be, you know, 360 updated graphics, all this other stuff. That was supposed to be." But they didn't. They kept going on about TV, you know, all this other stuff. Always on or 1 hour a day or something DRM, something weird like that.
Yeah, you have to be.
And Don Matrick, who's the head of Xbox, who's not the head of Xbox anymore, because he left for Zynga. There was an interview, and they were asking him about what veterans will do overseas and stuff, because they love playing video games and stuff when they're on base and everything. And he just said, "Well, if they want to play something, we have a console for that. It's called Xbox 360. Those are his legitimate words.
Yeah.
And that's, just a huge slap in the face and saying, oh, you don't have internet? Well, you don't get to play the next gen stuff.
Yeah.
And so that was a huge, huge PR nightmare. For PR. For PR. And so I'm pretty sure that led to what reason he left. So then E3, and they don't change anything. And then a week and a half later, they just say, we're negating everything we just said. And we're
taking it back.
Patch.
We take it back.
Yeah, that'll disable everything. But my problem with that is that it's just a patch.
Yeah.
And it's a day one patch, and it literally just tells the console to turn it off. Everything is still on the console that can implement that.
Mm.
So at any point, they can just go in and say, "Oh,
so
well,
once
we're going to turn on DRM."
So once everybody's bought it, they can be like, "Well, we're going to try out this new DRM thing."
Yeah. It's like we already have your money.
Yeah.
We don't care. Boom.
Although if you weren't online to get the next patch after the day one patch, they wouldn't be able to turn DRM back on.
I think one of the funniest things is I watched Angry Joe's show on YouTube. He's pretty funny. Check him out. He does game reviews.
Okay.
And he went to E3 and he did a lot of interviews with developers and everything. And he managed to get an interview with Larry Herb from Xbox Live.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's talking to him. And he made all these videos where he was super, super, super pissed off about Xbox and all that stuff. And I love watching those because I feel the same way. And so he did an interview with them. And he just asked him a question. He said, "I know you guys can turn off the always online DRM pretty easily." I was like, "So why don't you just do that?" And when he said that, Larry Herb took the mic from him and he goes, "Are you a developer of the console?" And he goes, "No." He goes, "Well, it's not. You can't say it's that easy then." And then he gave it back, and literally it was 5 days after the interview
after
went
he
live.
That, it was
they could get everything.
Oh, it was that easy.
It was I guess it was that easy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. They like totally freaking 180'd, which I've never seen before. Yeah. But I've lost all trust with them, so I'm definitely not gonna buy one. Yeah. PS4 for me.
Yeah. The PlayStation 4 though, they also got their marketing department made an ad.
I remember that.
The ad about the used games. So the Xbox One was considering not allowing used games at all. You couldn't share them with your friends. You couldn't do anything like that. So you could just, you bought your game, but only you could play it. And I'm guessing it would only be literally your account. You can't even, like, because it would be attached to you. Your one account.
They were talking about if you wanted somebody else to borrow it, they'd have to pay a fee.
Yeah.
And rumors were the fee was going to be like $50. Yeah. It's like $10 less than buying a brand new game.
Right.
So... Okay, so that, I mean, why would they even consider doing that? Like, why, I mean, but anyways, PlayStation's advertising department made an ad where it shows, you can probably look it up on YouTube, but it shows.
Or we can link it.
Yeah, we can probably put a link in the description.
You can link to the interview.
Too. Yeah.
Yep.
it's just like, how do you share games on the PlayStation 4? And it's like, step one. Grab the game and give it to a friend.
Yeah.
That was the entire ad. That was the entire ad.
Yeah.
And so Xbox backed off that as well. They just said basically they're just changing it back to the way the 360 was, but they're basically begging all their fans that got pissed off and decided to buy a PS4 to come back to them. So, and I myself probably maybe might not even be getting a next gen console, but if I do, it will definitely be a PlayStation 4. So unfortunately,
there is actually a petition online right now where people are demanding that Xbox brings back their restrictions because they're like, oh, you can do so much more if a console checks in every day or something. It's like. It's like the original PRBS that they were giving out.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, they're ever-changing worlds, digital worlds, and if it hooks up to the internet every day, we can update it every day.
So
stuff,
why don't they...
Which they would never do.
Why don't they allow you to... So for the people that can update every day or that want to update, they should allow updates.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't want to or if you don't have internet, they don't require it. Just allow it to be optional, like, you know, like sort of like the dashboard updates, but... Just do that stuff, but make them optional. I mean, you can still connect to the same servers without having the same, without having updates on certain stuff. I mean, so
yeah, the petition
exactly
has
sure.
Like 10,000 signatures right now, or something.
Yeah,
it's not
something
even
like
nothing.
So,
but it's like nothing.
They said
so.
It's either like Xbox total fanboys,
yeah,
like sticking by them no matter what, or PS4 fanboys that want to see the Xbox fail. I was like, that's totally true.
That's true.
Probably more of the latter.
Yeah.
What would it take from Xbox for you guys to go back to the Xbox train?
Me? First of all, no Kinect. That would be number one thing. I don't want the Kinect. Like, why? I'm going to have to pay $100 for something that I literally want to rip out, but I can't because it's attached to the console and, like... Well, it's not attached, but you have to have it connected to run, from what I understand, right?
Let's connect.
Well, I mean, you can't take that off. So that would be the number one thing
for me. They would have to, like Chris said, remove the Kinect, keep all the restrictions off, the stupid restrictions they were issuing, and actually give some value to like Xbox Live and stuff because.
Yeah.
Like, currently, if it's your birthday and you're an Xbox Live Gold member, you get 20 Microsoft points.
Oof.
Which, I don't know if you've checked, but that's
you can't
25
buy anything.
Cents.
You can't buy anything.
That's a quarter. They're
you
saying,
can't
hey, it's
buy
your
anything.
Birthday. Here's a quarter. And you pay, what, 60? It's, what,
$60
a year just to play online. PS4 has free online. And if you get PlayStation Plus, which is, like, their equivalent of Xbox Live, you literally get, I think it's 3 or 4 free games every month. And these aren't, like, you know, like...
Crappy
year
games.
Old games. Like, they're, like, new games.
Really?
Like, new games that are, like, I don't know, 6 months old or something.
I heard a rumor that they
it's
might
amazing.
Be requiring PlayStation Plus for the next...
Yeah, they are.
They are, okay.
But they're still giving out all these free games.
Okay,
which is amazing.
Is the price about $60 a year? Is about the same?
It's 50.
Yeah.
50?
Yeah.
So what, $5, I mean, what is it? That's less than $5 a month, so like $4.
And you get like 3 free games every month.
A month, okay.
Yeah, you just gotta donate plasma once a month.
I think if you donated plasma once, it's probably around that amount. You know,
I don't know if you could do it once a month.
No, just once per year. Like it might be a cool, like I'm pretty sure you get paid quite a bit. Anyways,
I don't think you. Off subject.
I don't know. It's been a while since I donated plasma.
I haven't, so I don't know.
Isn't the payout like not even worth it?
Well, it regenerates pretty quickly. You could do it like once a week, but you look like your guy just shoots up like all the time.
Seriously, I don't ever want to lose any of my plasma.
Yeah,
like I don't even know what it does, and I don't
want
to lose.
Another thing, I would definitely want. Microsoft to focus on the gamer more. I don't like the way that they're going towards
entertainment system.
Well, guess what? I have a TV and I have a laptop, and I'd much rather use those than a clunky console to do entertainment. So, you know, the TV's been around for a while. Most people have heard of it. You know, you use it every day, pretty much. So, I don't really want to do all my stuff on my console. I want to have that for games, like, maybe movie player occasionally, you know, I'll use it as a movie player. But
Blu-ray?
Other than that, they're both gonna have Blu-ray, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I saw a funny tweet. I think it was during E3. A person that actually worked at one of the like gaming companies that was covering it, tweeted out sarcastically. They said, "Whenever I'm flipping through channels on my remote, I always think, why can't this be easier?" Thanks, Xbox.
Yeah.
And Xbox, the PR team actually took that tweet like legitimately, and then used it as an advertisement.
And it was sarcastic.
Yeah,
epic fail.
So anyone reading it would be like, "Well, that's kind of dis." But they use it as like a legitimate advertisement.
There are
a
few guys out there that are like, "Fuck, that is hard."
Yeah.
I do wish it were easier.
Like my finger. Why can't I just, you know?
All right. I mean, the only thing I wish is that, you know, I don't know. It's just like, it's not that hard. If you have your channels favorited, you can just like next channel, next channel, next channel.
I mean, how lazy are people really?
Yeah, honestly, if you can't
push
a button
to change the channel.
I mean, I don't know. The Xbox might require more work. You have to like wave your hands and stuff. So
Xbox.
Can you imagine if you want to change the channel, you have to do like 20 jumping jacks.
Yeah, raise your hand. Wait to be called on.
We're going to bring exercise to you, fat ass. If you want to watch TV, you're doing jumping jacks.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. The whole entertainment thing is a little too much. I honestly think it's really disrespectful to gamers to not even acknowledge, because that's what built Microsoft was gamers, not entertainment. The original Xbox and the 360.
Are you saying Microsoft or Xbox?
I'd say Xbox.
That's
what I'm saying.
Xbox, but Microsoft.
Xbox is kind of
Xbox
computers.
Yeah. But basically Xbox, I mean, they would have to really get back to the gaming part of it, which is
fun.
Which is, yes. That's
we're missing a crucial element.
The fun.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. And I think that's, I don't know, I think that's a good thing that Thomas just brought that up. That's a good transition there to what we've been doing a lot with our Let's Plays, and that's retro consoles. And
those are fun.
I had a question for you guys. Why do you think we've gotten into retro consoles? Like, are the next gen consoles pushing us towards these retro consoles?
I think a little bit. I mean, I think a lot of it is nostalgia. Like, I don't think we can be completely objective about these games.
Yeah,
at
that's
all.
What I was thinking, that, you know, it's definitely that's part.
So I think that's an important thing to acknowledge. Like, it's definitely nostalgia for us. Like, we grew up with these games. Of course, we're going to like them.
Yeah.
Sort of regardless of their quality.
Yeah.
But also...
I don't know. The NES is before my time. I mean, like, before, I didn't play an NES when I was growing up, and I kind of enjoyed some of the games. So.
Right, well, I mean, also, there's just an inherent playability to a lot of the games. I mean, they were designed...
They're simplistic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they had really tight constraints to work within, and they had to be wildly imaginative within those to create some really, like, amazing games.
Yeah.
Like golf on the NES.
Yeah, well, there's just something about it that's just like, I don't know.
I think, honestly, I think part of it is that just the simplistic nature of retro game consoles such as the NES or SNES and stuff like that. And also, I think though, that the social aspect, like, okay, so you have Xbox Live, which is cool. You can talk to your friends or whatnot, you know, now until I don't get a next-gen console, but whatever. But then I think that, you know, like, these old consoles, like, you have to get together with your friends and play, like, if you want to play, like, multiplayer and stuff. And, like, I think that's definitely a big part of the retro consoles.
Yeah.
For me, at least, because, like, it's pretty fun just, like, doing what we're doing, you know, and just getting together and playing old consoles as opposed to just, like...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not always practical just because you can't do it from, like, anywhere like you can with internet-connected-based consoles, but...
It's just more fun than meeting online.
It just created...
The games create a really cool environment for direct social interactions. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean... The multiplayer options are awesome,
yeah.
And then it's easy to just pass off the controller to another person. Like, it would be weird if we got around, like, all met up and watched two people play Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Like,
that,
it would be
I
a
would
really shitty experience.
Yeah, like,
but we meet up to play
that.
Double Dribble on the NES, and
that's
sweet.
Gets intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome.
So, the retro consoles just cultivate really different gaming experiences than next-gen consoles do.
Yeah,
I think another thing is that it just has, like, a welcoming, like, simplistic vibe. Because, like, nowadays everyone's, like, obsessed. Not everybody. But most people are, like, obsessed with, like, graphics or something.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like,
yeah.
Like, if a game releases a trailer and the graphics, like, aren't that great, everybody just, like, freaking bashes it to death.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, oh, good thing they're still making games for the PS1 or something like that. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, back then, with all the retro consoles, they didn't even care about graphics.
Yeah,
you know, they
all
only focused on, like, gameplay and how the playability of it and how fun it was.
Yeah.
Like,
and
think
so
about
then, when you go back to the retro from the current gen of being, like, drowned in, like, graphics and, like, you know, not focusing on, like, the fun factor.
Yeah.
When you go back to where it was only focused on the fun factor, it's, like, 10 times more fun.
Well, it's, I mean,
yeah.
If you go way back to, like, DOS, just, like, text-based adventures,
mm-hmm.
like, I didn't play that
yeah.
many.
Those are cool.
But just, literally, just text, and it was awesome.
Zork and pals. Oh, jeez.
But, yeah, I definitely think that the fun aspect is a lot more. It's not, they're not, these games, well, they can be frustrating, but they're like fun, you know. It's a more fun challenge beating Mario with three lives.
Yeah.
With three lives and always dying on 8-2 because you can't freaking get past the damn Koopas and the what's that guy's name?
Lakitu.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing that I've been considering recently is just level of difficulty in games. So, like, newer games, essentially infinite continues. You can save.
Yeah.
Easy mode.
Like, auto-save, you know, every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You're essentially, the game is designed for you to beat.
Yeah.
To not lose, ever.
Yeah.
Which is very different from, like, Super Mario Bros., where you die 3 times and you're in world 8-2, you're just suddenly thrown back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, incredibly frustrating, incredibly hard, incredibly difficult, but we still like them.
Yeah.
And we're still willing to endure that, like,
yeah.
kind of painful experience
yeah.
that
yeah.
you get when
Sometimes,
you play one.
Yeah.
It was kind of well-paced, too. Because, like, the very first world, the piece of cake.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the level design is just,
yeah.
like, ingenious. Yeah.
I mean, if you
yeah.
didn't use the warps, it would progressively get
yeah.
medium difficult.
Yeah.
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 Harder.
Yes.
But if you use the
warps
like everybody does, it goes from, like, easy to, like, hard.
Yeah.
Because
World 2? Who's ever played
seven
that?
Worlds.
Come on.
I have.
Yeah.
I've played them all.
But I think that what you just said, though, is kind of the way that, you know, like, my dad coaches a baseball team, and it's kind of the way that they're teaching kids now is that, like, it's, like, everybody's a winner, and, like, you don't, like, it's okay to lose and stuff like that. And, like you said with the games, like, back in the day, we had to, like, beat, like, games without even saving, really, like,
mm-hmm.
and, like, Call of Duty and stuff and any kind of game like that where you can just auto-save literally whenever you want. You're going to beat it. It's just a matter of
when
right.
and how long you're going to put into it, where Mario, you have to actually think about the strategy and stuff, and I think that's like, the way that society's going is, like, telling kids, like, teaching kids, which I honestly think is, it's going to do a lot of harm to them, teaching them that everybody, like, you don't have to, you know, it's not that, like, everybody's a winner, like, that. I don't think that that's kind of a good thing. Like, the kids that on my dad's baseball team, they told them, you know, basically, oh, it doesn't matter if you win, like, basically, you don't, it doesn't, they don't even, like, want to keep track of the record, and they lost every single game last year, and the kids were just, like, perfectly fine with it. They're just, like, you know, they didn't really care. They were like, oh, yeah, that's, like, fun. Unless we're just having fun, like, we don't really care about the winning aspect or the competitive aspect, when in reality, life is, like, a pretty much, it's a competition in a lot of ways, so.
Life is a game.
So, I mean, so the thing is, like, I kind of think that. And then this year, once they got a taste of winning, like, they realized they really loved it, and they only lost, like, two games all year, so. But the thing is, I think it's kind of detrimental to kids, you know, teaching them, like, you know, there's no competition involved. It's, like, it's okay to lose and stuff, which is, it is okay to lose once in a while, but you can't just be accepting losing, you know. Well, if you accepted losing at everything, you would never have any reason to progress.
Totally. I mean, I didn't ever mean to suggest that, like, new games are inferior because of this. Like, well, I mean, yeah. If I were playing through Red Dead Redemption and I died in the middle and I was sent back to the beginning, I'd be pissed. Yes, like, but, that's fine. Yeah. It's a different gaming experience. Like, these are much more cinematic. You're playing through a very cinematic, like, movie.
Movie title. Yeah, that's, like,
which is fun. And then, yeah, not to get too, like, cultural or anything, like, but I'm always hesitant to place that much burden on video games because...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, it comes down to, like, the violence argument. just the excess amount of violence in video games and whether or not that's detrimental to today's youth. And,
yeah, no, yeah.
And I never assign that much blame to video
games.
No,
definitely. Of course not.
Right.
It definitely, I'm not trying to say that, but I'm saying it goes right along with, you know what I'm saying, like, as far as how some kids are being taught these days, like, it's a little bit different way of, I guess, teaching than when we were growing up. Is like, you wanted to be, you know, good at something or beat something. We kept scores and stuff, and it's just like, a lot of youth games aren't keeping track of scores, and it's just like, okay, everybody's a winner, but I don't know.
I think another cool aspect of the retro games
the games
is I grew up with dial-up until I was like 16, I think. Mm-hmm. So I never really got, like, was acclimatized to the internet until I was like 16. And so, like, with all my old games, like PS1 games, even PS2 games, if I, like, got stuck on a part, like, I'd have to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't just go on Google and go, oh, how do I get past this part? And then just go, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
I didn't have to look around or anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, when, like, Mario first came out, like, when people discovered something that they'd never seen before, it was like, an awesome feeling.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I never discovered this before.
Yeah, that's the best.
It's like, never
like new games.
Part.
Like, some people like even make a living just off of like, just like showing people how to get through like, certain locations and everything. And there's like no sense of like discovery.
It's like not rewarding beating a game like that, is it? I mean, do you guys think it's rewarding if you? It sort of is, but.
It's different
to me, you know, like if you get stuck on the end part of it, something you can't find something, I'll go look it up, but I won't just like follow strictly that because it's not rewarding at all. But like Mario, what were you going to go look up? The only thing you could do is like, if you got William over here, you just go to his house and be like, hey, how do you do this part?
And I'll be like, backseat gamer.
I think one of the best games that helps highlight that of, the recent years is Dark Souls. Well, Demon Souls, too.
Yeah.
So Dark Souls, literally, it drops you in a prison, and it doesn't, like, tell you anything. You just have to walk forward. And then the only hints it gives you is, like, this is to block or something. Or, like, this is to attack. And that's it. And it just, once you get out of the prison, it just drops you in a location. It doesn't give you sense of direction at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, three different or four different locations you can go to. And you don't know that this is where you're supposed to go first because this boss is easier than this one, mm-hmm. or this and this. And so, like, when it first came out and people were playing it, you know, they had no idea what to do, mm-hmm. no idea whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And so online they would get together and they just, like, talk about, like, you know, oh, I did this and this happened, or I did this and this happened. And nothing was, like, laid out for them.
Yeah.
Like, most modern games now, they, like, have a tutorial level that's, like, at least half an hour or something.
Or a strategy guide that they sell.
Yeah, telling you literally
for
every
it.
Little
yeah.
thing you need to know to beat every, like, waking second of the game.
Yeah.
And, like Dark Souls, like, it's, like, I don't know. It's, like, extremely difficult, but it's, like, rewarding because you didn't know you could do this. Or
mm-hmm.
you didn't know this was here, and you found it by yourself. So, I don't know. It just harkens back to, like, the older games where before the internet was, like, massive and you could just find anything online.
Yes. How do you guys feel about, like, tutorials and beyond that, like, on-screen hints or...
Quick time
like
events.
Well, no, not quick time events. That's a different podcast. Like mechanics, like I think in Dead Space, where it like shows you the path that you need to.
Yeah, you got the little.
So
like how do you feel about that? Is that helpful in a complicated game, or is it just proof of poor level design?
Well, and I'm playing through GoldenEye on the
N64, mm-hmm.
and there is like objectives at the beginning of the mission. But there's nothing telling you where to go to do that. Like, you kind of... It's naturally, like, parts are closed off, so you naturally move forward.
Mm.
I didn't know how to use the action button until I, you know, push start, look through the menu or whatever. But then there's, like, the extra parts, they literally don't tell you what to do. So, like, it's, like, destroy the tanks in the holding room. And I went to, like there's two rooms in a hallway and I went to the door to the right and there's a bunch of big tall like metal things and I just blew those up, but it wasn't the right ones, it was the ones across the hall, so it was like, you know, it doesn't tell you at all,
right.
For the extra stuff and like this modem thing, it's like you're supposed to put it somewhere, but like it's like I did it three times in like different spots and once you install it you can't take it off, so like I had to reset or whatever because I thought it was part of the mission. It's not essential, but it's like an extra piece. But I installed it on, like, servers in, like, a room that I found. But I think you're supposed to install it on the computers. You know, I'm talking about that part on the first mission. Like, you go underground. There's, like, a server room. And
oh, I'm sure I remember if I saw it.
But anyways, yeah, it's just, like, I don't know. So I don't
do you like that?
I kind of like it because it's, like, it makes me explore the game and not just, like, kind of... just be force-fed, like, the storyline, and, like Call of Duty, you can't really, change. The only thing I like about, the only new-gen, games that I really like, as far as, like, campaigns, pretty primarily is, like, RPGs, like, Fallout and stuff like that, because you can do whatever you want to do, and it's, like, different quests and stuff. Now, they do point what you're trying to say, they kind of do that, so I think I like it better without too many helps. Now, a help occasionally is nice, but
right.
Just
well, it's,
not
yeah,
like...
with anything, it's a balance, definitely.
Yeah.
But when a game has a mechanic like that, I find that I use it, but then it's definitely less satisfying
it's like
to
a
me
crutch.
When I find the next level and beat the game, because but it's the law of dominant strategy.
It's like a crutch.
The player's going to use... the best tools
that
are available to them to win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What he or she can.
But I've been playing through Super Metroid lately, and that just really made me appreciate like good level design, because you're given no direction, but you never end up really going in the wrong direction at all. Like, you feel like you're sort of wandering, but somehow you always manage to like find the next place that you're supposed to be in.
Yeah.
Which is just really speaks to like ingenious level design, I think.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Sort of it's definitely an art.
Yeah.
Impressive one.
Yeah. I played through all the Dead Spaces and every one of them had the little
Just your t-shirt.
Oh, okay. I'm wearing a
Dead
Space
3
shirt right now, too, by the way. I really enjoyed it. And every one of them had the little, like, directional thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, it was built into Isaac's suit, so it actually, like, flowed with everything else. Because he had a little, like, glowy thing on his hand in the suit, and then he just puts it on the ground and it tells him where to go.
Now, could you not use that if you wanted to? Like, or did was it needed?
Now, with Dead Space, I think it reached, like, a perfect, like, combination of everything because when I was using it was when I was getting chased by, like, a ton of things that I was scared the crap out of that they were going to kill me.
Yeah.
And so I was just thinking of getaway. I wasn't thinking of, like, oh, this is totally, you know, hampering my exploration and everything.
Yeah.
I mean... and that thing, the locator thing, you could use it to locate, like, past areas, too. So, like, if you wanted to go find, like, a dispenser that was back there or something, you could change it up and go and find one of those. But, I don't know, like, playing through it with that on all three, I don't know if I could think of playing it without it. It's weird. Like, I think it, like, fit in perfectly because, like, I was more driven by the story than the exploration, I guess.
Yeah,
I was still driven by exploration because it was freaky as crap.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that's like a an anomaly in like that because usually like I can't stand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like with or I guess Uncharted is similar as like there's like barely anywhere you can veer off and explore something. It's usually always straightforward, but that's. That's another thing, because it's, like, straight up, like, action, like, cinematic kind of thing, because it's always trying to drive you in the one place where, oh, this huge set piece is going to happen, where you're going to be...
cut screen.
Where you're going to, you're going to be, like, totally shocked by,
like,
the visuals or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked Heavy Rain, so, Heavy Rain, have you guys heard of Heavy Rain?
Oh, I haven't played it.
I know Heavy Rain.
Yeah, it's, like, Jason.
Jason?
So, literally all you do is, it's more of like an interactive movie than anything, but you just walk around as, you play as four different characters, and you walk around, and it's about a murder mystery and a kidnapping. And, so you walk around, and you literally just, you don't have any set location. Like, you can straight up miss everything, and just accidentally go to your destination, and you totally miss, like, a side plot to something. And you just go around and investigate everything. And certain actions lead to different, like, scenarios that you get yourself into. And I don't know, I really, really like that.
But did you like that more because of the less direction, or, like...
Yeah, I think so. Like, I felt like I could just go off and do my own thing. Because, like, in every game, I'll investigate, like, everything.
Especially, yeah, I think that's definitely a difference, though. The newer consoles, you notice that a lot more, is that there's a lot more direction in general.
I think
that's just because of the complexity.
Yeah.
Because it kind of has to if you have, like, you know, huge worlds and stuff that you're exploring. You kind of have to have some sort of, you know, pointers a little bit to
I dig it in RPGs because I get so lost easily.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like, imagine playing, like, Skyrim or Fallout without a map.
Fallout?
It's like...
Yeah, it's like Skyrim or Fallout.
But, like,
no
I could
way.
Never do that. It's so huge.
Mm-hmm.
But, like...
But they still don't tell you exactly where to go. They just kind of tell you, like, it's hard sometimes to find someone in Fallout. Like, if they even say, like, oh, well, this guy in this town, you're like, all right. But you don't know where
you don't know where they're at.
And a lot of times you have to talk to a lot of people. And still kind of exploring, it just points you in, like, this general direction to direction, spot to spot.
A quest within a quest.
Yeah, I totally dig it in RPGs.
Yeah.
But.
So...
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like a mixed bag. I think I think they're trying to implement it in all the new games just for accessibility.
Yeah.
Because they figure, you know, a bunch of parents are buying their 12-year-old kids.
Yeah, Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so they're like, we can't, you know, we can't make it so they get stuck on the first level or something because then they won't like our game and they won't want to.
I don't know if they play campaign. they're all online, sure. I have to mute them, or my dad mutes them all the time.
I mean, like, I'm talking about, like, all the games, you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Just in general, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's also going to the generational thing. Kids these days are just a lot more impatient. The instant gratification.
That's for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, I think definitely society is kind of being geared towards that, especially with the internet. Like, dial-up, you had to, like, work for your results on, like, it was pretty rewarding finding something. Now it's like, if you don't get on Google in, like, 3 seconds, you're, like, flipping out and, like, what the hell's wrong with my internet and, like, all this stuff. And it's just like, the entire society has gone to more instant gratification. I think the internet has a lot to do with that, but I definitely think that video games, as far as that goes, definitely a lot more instant gratification now. Like, yep. This mm-hmm. Instagram point, yeah.
Another part to that instant gratification thing is I've been playing through Tales of Graces F on the PS3, and there's DLC you can buy for it, and I think it's like 3 or 4 of the DLC is like $300,000 in the game, and it's like $5 or something. Yeah. So you can pay real world money to get a crap ton of money in the game.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Just so you automatically have that money, and you can automatically get like the best gear, the best, you know, outfits and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would never want to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I love like saving up for stuff in RPGs.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Well, like
but some people are like, oh, I don't, just don't have any time, you know.
Just buy it. Yeah. Like Call of Duty, you can buy like camos or something for your guns.
Yeah.
And it's you pay cash money for something in a game that does nothing for you.
This leads into the whole MMO RPG discussion, where like World of Warcraft, where you can buy the
microtransactions.
Gear,
it's like
crazy.
It's like
Dead Space had that too, and Dead Space 3 you could buy like the best guns and everything, or attachments.
It's not rewarding at all, though.
That's crazy.
You'd be OP from the start.
Yeah,
and that's no fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it might be fun for some people, but
it's more fun.
I like building my character up.
Yeah, totally.
It's super rewarding.
And then you can return to those places where they beat the crap out of you and just annihilate them.
So why?
That would be like playing through Super Mario Bros. With just like the raccoon suit. Like they're every level.
Yeah.
And
just fly everywhere.
It's just not even fair. Yeah. So, do you guys think that like like, not Animal Crossing, that's a great game.
It is.
That's another
subject.
I was trying to say, like, Minecraft, it's like, three of us play that. I don't know if you've ever played it or seen it or anything, but...
I've seen it.
Okay, but you know, if you don't know what Minecraft is, just Google it. But do you think we like that because it's sort of like a retro-type game? Like, it's super simple. There's only a few, like, things you can do, but it'll lead to a lot of stuff. I mean, why...
I think the main draw of Minecraft is the creativity part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
not many
I
games just
so.
Drop you, and you can just literally like do anything,
yeah,
like create anything
chill.
You want.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that and like if you get like a big server going or something, or like if all
of
us are playing
in
a server, you can like coordinate and stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So like, yeah, like you can like go on mining expeditions or something, or build your huge mansion or something. And I think a big draw for me is like progression, because like you start off. Like similar to Dark Souls, you start off with nothing, and then you eventually find, you know, diamond, gold, resources, and you build up your
house. And I like that there is a map, technically, that you start off with, but there's no direction, like you were talking about earlier. There's no, like, hey, go this way for gold, go this way for iron, it's not like...
Yeah, in fact, the whole map is blank.
Yeah, it's just, like, blank,
yeah,
and then it's just, you have to fill it out and stuff and explore in it, really.
That's sweet. I always liked games like that,
yeah.
Where the map was blank and you had to fill it in yourself.
Yeah.
Because I get super OCD about that.
Yeah.
Like, there's a corner I missed.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, alright, I'm gearing up, I gotta go get a bunch of iron so I can have a good sword for my trip, because I'm going around this whole map, so...
That's rad.
But yeah,
I love games in Minecraft.
Yeah. So, what are some games that you guys are looking forward to? New games, probably not.
Am I not looking forward to it?
No,
forward to everything for the Wii U.
Okay.
Because I like the Wii U.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So, PS4, Xbox One have Blu-ray. Wii U has VHS now, I think.
Sounds about right.
I think it was Rabbit Ears, actually.
Oh, man.
I'm excited. I'm just excited for the Wii U. I know it's out. It's been out for a while, but I want one when I have money.
Is it actually a DVD player? I think it is.
I don't know. Maybe. Because
the Wii couldn't play DVD.
Super Smash Bros. I'm excited for.
Oh, not stock, I guess.
Yeah,
not that Nintendo one.
The new Super Smash Bros. Does look good.
Yeah,
it looks sweet.
They finally have Mega Man.
Yeah.
What games are you looking forward to?
I
would look forward to Forza 5 so much.
It looks so good.
If I won the lottery, I would buy an Xbox One and Forza 5 just for that. And I'd have, you know, I would just like unplug it every time I shut it off. It's kind of weird.
I would say, like I said, Tales of Xillia. Just because I love those games, those last me months.
Mm.
And the Lightning Returns, the new Final Fantasy, that's coming out. I think it's next year. But that's something to look forward to, because I enjoyed 13 and 13, too. I thought they were both pretty good.
Yeah, I loved 13, too.
Yeah. 13?
Word. No, I didn't like 13. Dude, it was super boring, I thought.
I was in the minority of the people that actually enjoyed it. But yeah. I like those. Next-gen-wise, PS4 has the new Infamous on it, Second Son, which looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I love the first two Infamouses. Those are awesome. Those Final Fantasy, which is not Versus 13, it's now, I think it's 15, Final Fantasy 15. Yeah, they did a whole thing at E3 about it, and that looked amazing, and that's on the PS4. Other than that, like, well, yeah, 4 is a 5, I'm probably not going to play it, though.
Yeah.
I would love to, but
yeah.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much all the current stuff. And then all of Nippon Ichi stuff they're releasing.
Yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to, it's games that I'm looking forward to, but I'm looking forward to finding new games to me, like NES and like Super Nintendo and N64, because I just got all three of those consoles as well, and so I have new stuff that I can explore and try and find games that are fun that I can play.
Word.
One word. Pokemon.
X and Y. That looks really good. I forgot about that.
Can't forget about
the
that.
Original RPG. Well, not the original RPG, but a original.
Yeah, it was like one of the first RPGs.
One of the really good ones.
Pretty close to the original, like handheld.
Yeah, it probably was.
First 3D, like fully 3D.
Yep, first Pokemon. Fully 3D Pokemon.
I'm getting X. Which one are you getting?
Is that the one with the deer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking about getting. I'll probably get Y if you get X, though.
Yeah. I just think he looks so cool.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to those retros.
Retron 5.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a good time.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That's going to be
it's
cool.
It's going to be a damn good time.
Is it still going to be wireless controllers?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it comes with four of them, though.
I think it's kind of funny how we're like, wireless controllers. We're so used to, like, wireless, like, Xbox controllers and stuff, but I like the wired, like, just, like, that much more connected with, like, I don't know, the games and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On older consoles, latency too. Like, delay.
Yeah.
It's a big thing.
Yeah, if you're playing a retro console with a group of friends, one person will always blame his poor performance on lag from a controller.
Yeah.
It will always happen.
Proof though, if you're running a Retron 2 through a VCR and a capture card, there will be lag playing Mario, and we have the Mario King
as
over
discovered.
Here. There is lag a little bit.
There's a
little
lag.
This is almost so specific that it's happened.
So,
if you have also run a capture card through a VCR,
oh, by the way,
from
that's,
an NES
yeah, that's,
to an LCD screen TV, then we like you.
Yep.
Everybody else, we hate you.
Have your fancy HD PVR 2s and your Elgatos. Roxio's.
Yeah. So
it's all about K-World.
K-World.
Yeah.
Don't call during their open hours. They're not open.
Nope. 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. 2:30, they're
cool,
not open.
Hold music, though.
Oh, you get some cool hold
bathe
music.
Bathe me in your love.
Bathe me in your love. I don't think they're a real company.
Yeah.
But we got it to work anyway.
Yeah.
So is there anything you guys want to say about, like, games you've been playing recently?
Last thoughts. Like, how you guys want to?
I don't know.
I beat Tomb Raider recently, and that was amazing.
Yeah, so
the
did
one
I.
for the Sega Dreamcast is
with Lost Revelations.
That one. Yeah.
Freaking tutorial level.
Yeah. If you haven't played it, Tomb Raider: Last Revelation for the Dreamcast specifically is the best game I've played in the past decade.
Don't believe him.
Nope, I'm just currently working through Super Mario World Lost Levels, currently in the Advanced Worlds, Fourth World, I believe. That's fine.
I think I'm the only one that's playing, like, modern games right now.
I don't know.
No, I got,
I got
table tennis.
My Xbox is collecting dust. My Xbox is a platform for my N64 right now, so that's all it is. It's a paperweight right now.
I've been like straight up PS3 recently. I've been burning through my RPGs.
Those are fun though. Those are good. I kind of.
Oh, now
Mega Man's kind of an RPG, isn't it? Mega Man 64, sketch-ish.
I'd say it kind of is. You get upgrades and stuff.
Well, you kind of have to. You kind of have to like
look around
too. Like that.
Yeah, I freaking love that game.
Yeah,
I never played that.
Legends 2 was awesome.
I don't know how.
I never played Legends 2.
I liked them all.
Mega Man, anything.
What's
almost
your
favorite
game for the N64?
Oof.
Mine probably Smash Bros. I mean, it's just such a good game.
It was so good, yeah.
I'd probably go Paper Mario.
Oh, damn it, I didn't think about Paper Mario. That's
almost not fair, though.
That's like cheating. Paper Mario is the best, dude. I don't know. I can't choose. I can list my top three probably would be Super Smash Bros., Paper Mario, and GoldenEye would probably be my top. Well, Pokemon Stadium, that's four. I don't know.
What about like your favorite non-mainstream N64 game? I'd go Jet Force Gemini.
Ooh.
I don't know. I never really played.
I never had a 64 either. I think my favorite one is probably Sonic Adventure though, because I played that one a lot.
Was Mario the second Tennis. One on Mario Tennis was
Sonic
awesome,
Adventure 2
dude.
Battle. That was on GameCube.
Oh.
I have that. I need to play it. We need to play it.
I like that one too.
GameCubes are super cheap. GameCubes are cheaper than like a NES by far.
Yeah.
No.
That's never heard of GameCube.
It's true.
True.
Last thoughts, anybody?
Banjo 3E needs to be released.
Banjo.
It was.
Yeah, Banjo
it was.
Nuts and Bolts.
That doesn't
nuts
count as a
bolts.
Game. That was a.
This is count.
If you haven't watched the JonTron review, that sums it up nicely.
I have not.
We can link that too.
We'll link that.
Link it dies.
That's quite funny.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you actually made it through this whole podcast,
thank you.
That's a
thank you.
And if you notice, I probably didn't contribute more than 2 minutes of actual voice time in this podcast.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Catch William in the videos.
It was sort of a rambling podcast, but thanks for hanging in there. In the future, we'll try to keep it a little more poignant. We'll try to stay on topic and come in with a solid idea of what we want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just all getting to know each other. I mean, not us, but you in there.
Getting to know
on
you.
The other side
the
of that
viewer.
Computer.
We want to know
viewer.
You.
Yeah. So we do want to get to know you. So send us messages, nice ones or mean ones.
Private messages.
Yeah. We'll respond
just
to
kidding.
The mean ones.
Constructive criticism.
Equally mean. So be prepared. But we'll respond to the nice ones equally nice. Possibly nicer. Because we're nice guys.
Most likely nicer.
Yeah.
Definitely nicer.
We'll throw in a cookie.
We'll send you food.
Yeah, we're sponsored by Pizza Hut.
We're sponsored.
We are sponsored. Yeah. Pizza thanks. Hut. This podcast, thanks to Pizza Hut.
Yes, yes,
Hut.
This is brought to you by Pizza Hut.
Just give us some free pizza.
Thank you, Pizza Hut.
For nothing,
experience the pizza craze that is Pizza Hut.
Cheesy breadsticks. Fat ass bread.
Thanks, guys.
Adios.